Here's our agenda for today. On it, we are effectively going to go through all of our deliverables. We have roughly 2 weeks left to get these into a review-ready shape for the Web Payments Interest Group face-to-face, which is happening on July 1st. So we're about 3 weeks away from that. So today we're going to be covering the Verifiable Claims Task Force deliverables, which includes use cases. Joe Andrew is going to take us through an excellent write-up that he did over the past week, and then hopefully we'll get some interaction with Shane as well on use cases and where they are and what we think we can do in the next 2 weeks. We are going to review the charter, which has been semi-finalized, the charter FAQ, frequently asked questions, architecture summary, which has had quite a bit of work done on it in the last week, thanks to Adam Lake, and we want to definitely touch base with Dave Crocker and the rest of the folks working on architecture. We have some terminology conflicts that we absolutely need to resolve on the call today, because we need to finalize the terminology across all these documents. And then we have some discussion on data model specification, the verifiable claims primer, and basically anything else we feel needs work. It is, again, a very, very packed agenda. The hope is that people can be brief and to the point with their comments. Let's get the last couple of people who called in associated, and then we'll go ahead and get started with the first agenda item. While we're getting people associated, if you have an addition to the agenda, please let us know that you want it added. 410 area code, is that you, Les?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then 908 area code, who's that?
341 is me, Eric.
Okay, Eric. All right. Any updates or changes to the agenda before we get started?
Manu, this is Dan.
Yeah.
One quick thing. We still haven't figured out what TBD is and the TBD credential. There isn't time to do that today, but just, you know, think about where you want that in agendas in general, because we still need to figure that out.
Yes.
For the data model.
To mention that. Yes, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about. We will talk about that in the terminology conflicts portion of the call. Okay, thank you. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? All right. We're going to go through these pretty quickly. Apologies for the speed. Here's a link I'm dropping in IRC. This is the landing page for the Verifiable Claims Working Group proposal. This is going to be the first page that everyone reviewing the set of documents that we're working on is going to see. It is basically organized in the order that we want people to read the documents. We're asserting that they only really need to read two documents to have a general idea about what the work is about, and to vote with some amount of idea of what we're trying to accomplish. So there is a verifiable claims primer that is currently being worked on. Adam Lake is working on that. We'll touch on it a bit later on in the call. We're hoping that's about a 3-minute read, so people can glance through it really quickly, get an idea of what verifiable claims are about and what we're trying to accomplish with this working group. We have the draft charter document, which W3CAC reps must read in order to vote on it. And then below that, we have a set of supporting documentation. So we have the verifiable claims architecture, the proposed specification that we want to take through standardization, a demonstration of support for the work, an implementer summary who plans to implement software, who plans to implement it in their market vertical, the FAQ, the list of frequently asked questions based on the survey, and then the use cases. So this is the whole set of documentation that people will be looking at. And we're going to go over each one of these items and its status on the call today. Are there any questions on that landing page? All right, if there are no questions on the landing page, we're going to move on to use cases. We're going to try and time box this to 10 minutes max. Again, apologies for not giving it more time on the call, but we have a lot to get through. Joe, let me just before you start, here's a link to our current set of use cases to remind everyone and those that are that didn't hear about Joe's work on the call last week. Joe Andrew has done a fairly extensive review of the use cases with the team at the Rebooting Web of Trust / ID 2020 Design Workshop, and has a number of thoughts and proposals. Joe, would you mind going over at least a high level your findings and the proposals for moving forward?
Sure, and I understand the time pressure, so my apologies that this, you know, I'm not going to be able to be in depth, but I think the write-up presents what's been done in a way that hopefully is accessible. And I realize because of timing, we may not be able to use, you know, hardly any of it. But what I wanted to share was we went through this very quickly at the workshop. And so the first half of this document is just saying, okay, well, here are our first impressions. Here's, you know, we really wanted it to be able to flow a little bit more from human value. I think it was a little harder to tease out from the technical details how it fit into an individual user's life. I think one of the clearest takeaways from that first bit of work was this notion that, hey, if they all had titles, it would be easier to talk about and easier to extract that value. So at the bottom of page 4 here, I have the list of the titles that we came up with at the workshop, and then I finished out for the use cases that we hadn't gotten to in the 1 hour that we had in New York. And so you can see there, you know, some of them are sort of functionally descriptive, like send money. Two of them popped out even during the workshop as being particularly evocative, Lazy Doctor and Bad University. So I kind of like to have that sort of a juicy title for all of these just because it makes them easier to talk about. So after that, that's really just a write-up and a capturing of our conversation. Based on that, I put together some additional what I call requirements models that might be usable. I don't know, maybe Shane can comment on given our time frame, what elements from this might be able to inform the use case document. And I broke those, I'll just walk through those real quickly. One is what I call a user needs map. Functionally, this is the scenarios from the use case document, simply organized in a visual way so at a glance you can capture it fairly quickly. So there are scenarios about finance, about education, about professional credentials, about healthcare, a couple about shopping, and there's only one about legal identity in the use case. And since the ID 2020 had a lot of focus on legal identity, I added a couple that if they don't have a number in this diagram, it's because they weren't already in the use case document. So digital birth certificate or digital passport or the credentials you might need for getting on an airplane. So this is just a way to, at a glance, understand, oh, this is where it's going to touch on people's lives. I broke out a visual diagram that just identifies the users. I think this is, you know, touches on the terminology conversation for which I know, you know, I'm late to this conversation, so feel free to dismiss entirely. But this is what felt natural to me as I was putting this document together. I mentioned in the last call that use cases sometimes are used as if they're in the problem domain, sometimes as if they're in the solution domain, and both times those are referred to as use case. To me, what I was looking for in the use case document was problem domain, and that's, you know, what was missing for me in that first exercise. But there's the very concrete list of solution domain use cases. So that's basically what I'm calling here user tasks. with the user that interacts with them. So this is a classic UML use case diagram. The two tasks that I'm not sure the system will support or are going to be in there, one is forget claim, which relates to the EU's right to be forgotten, and if there's any support for that in the architecture, I'm not sure. And second, amend claim, I don't know if that's going to be supported, but given this possible universe, I'm like, well, if I can revoke it, is there a way that the issuer can amend it without having to replace the DID? And I think Jason wanted to know what the DID is, that's possible, but it was missing there. So those are the new models that I suggested. We're kind of running out of time, but there are two additional things I'd like to do. One is a lifecycle engagement, which is basically a concise way to say, okay, here's we could either go from an individual or from an specific verifiable claim. Here's when it's created. Here's how it's used. Here's how it's retired. We sort of, that narrative isn't quite there from life to death. And then what Constantine Locke would call a detailed use case, which is a narrative write-up of user intention and system responsibility, which is a back and forth from the individual's perspective, independent of technology. Again, you know, I don't know if we'll have time, but that's sort of, that's where I'm at. You can read the document. I'm trying to be brief here, but that's the Blitzkrieg introduction to this write-up.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe. If you have any questions or comments on the document, please put yourself on the queue. Joe, this is all really great stuff. I would love to see, I'm just, you know, speaking from a personal perspective, I would love to see almost, I think, every change that you've mentioned integrated in the document. If we can't, I think eventually we can get it, we can get all of these things integrated in the document. The question is, how much we'll be able to integrate over the next 2 weeks. So I think the short scenario titles would be a great change. So things like, you know, Lazy Doctor and Bad University are you know, really interesting, evocative titles that let you talk about these things more easily with folks. So plus one to that change. I think the graphics that you've created here would be great at the beginning of the document to kind of map all of the verticals effectively that we're talking about. I think the role stuff is great as well as mapping kind of the roles to the user tasks. I think, you know, These pictures speak 1,000 words, and I'd love to, you know, figure out how we could get those integrated in the document. Shane, any thoughts on this stuff? Like,
life is long, and I rarely sleep, so I think we're fine. no, this is great data, and in particular, I really like somebody coming in from a very different perspective and turning it 90 degrees, which is kind of what this does. So I guess what I'd like to do is Joe, work with you offline. I don't want to take the time of the group to see what we can do to get some of this stuff rolled in. My question for you, Manu, we have two requirements documents on our document roadmap, if you will, the one for the high-level requirements for the AC and the detailed requirements as a vision document. Do we still have those on our roadmap?
I think we do. I think our focus right now is on the high-level one. And in the high-level document, I think these images would really help people, right? If these images, you know, the verifiable claims user needs, the short scenario titles, the user roles diagram and the verifiable claims user task diagram, if those were front-loaded at the top of the short use case document, I think that would really help us convince people, or at least get people to kind of understand what we're talking about. And then eventually we'll want to merge that content into the big use cases document. Does that, from a priority perspective, that's what I'm saying. Let's focus on getting the images integrated into the short use cases document.
I think the other concrete piece of feedback here, I know we're running out of time box time, the other concrete piece of feedback from Joe that I think we should take to heart is all the cruft at the front is getting in the way of the message. Maybe we should push it to an appendix or get rid of it.
In the short use cases document?
Yep.
Yep, plus one.
Okay. Thanks again, Joe, and I will be in touch, you know, shortly.
You are welcome, and I look forward to talking.
Awesome.
That's only because you don't know me.
Awesome. Thanks a ton, Joe, and thank you, Shane, for following up with Joe on getting this stuff integrated. All right, anything on use case review before we move on to the next item? All right, next up is the Verifiable Claims Charter. I will put the link in IRC here. I had time over the weekend to integrate all of the survey feedback into the charter. Not a lot changed, but we did make some fairly important changes as far as, like, you know, removing the word rich from verifiable claims. A couple of people had issues with that. We added a couple of more liaison relationships, one with the Credentials Transparency Initiative, another one with the Mozilla Open Badges Project, just to make sure we have those in there. Trying to think of some of the other changes that were made. We clarified that we're not proposing a set of browser APIs for the working group, as that would could potentially derail the work, and we don't have a proposal for browser APIs yet. But we state very clearly that, you know, if that is work of interest, the working group might be rechartered to work on that after we get the data model and syntax sorted out. Okay, so the charter is effectively, I'm saying it's ready for other people to review, and we may even go as far as saying it's ready for the Web Payments IG to review. It hasn't really changed that much. So if you have some spare time, please take a look at the charter, because this is probably the charter that's going in front of the Web Payments IG to look at, and it's maybe the charter that's forwarded on to the W3C membership for a vote, if everything goes well on July 1st. Okay, any questions or concerns about the charter? Okay, if not, we'll move on to the next item, which is the Verifiable Claims Charter Frequently Asked Questions list. There we go. There's the frequently asked questions list. We have expanded it and attempted to answer every question that was raised in the survey. So we've added a bunch of stuff here. We've added a bunch of questions and answers here. Like, for example, why is there no JavaScript API for web browsers? How has this work been incubated? How does this work relate to blockchain and decentralized ledger technology? Is there an architecture that you're proposing? Should we focus just on education and nothing else? All of these questions were raised in the survey, so the FAQ now has answers to all these questions in there. We may reorganize the FAQ a bit. We may add a few other questions in there as review happens over the next month, but for the most part, the FAQ has most of the meat of the content in it right now. Any questions on the FAQ? Shane is noting that the wiki should be updated as well. Yes, absolutely. That wiki is pretty horribly out of date at this point.
No, I updated it in February.
Oh, great. Thanks. Well, it should be updated again. I'm guessing, Shane, we should probably just point to that landing page. We should have the wiki just point to the landing page that we mentioned at the beginning of the call. Just because that's kind of where things are today.
Okay.
All right. Any questions on the FAQ? If not, we'll move on to architecture summary. Architecture summary, Adam Lake has been working on this for the past week and a half. He took our architecture document that we had previously and reworked it in a Google Doc, and I translated it into HTML yesterday. Adam, would you mind giving us just kind of a brief outline of the thought process that went into this document and what was changed?
Sure. I mean, really, I was just trying to boil the 15-page architecture document down into two pages with all the essential information. I mean, I worked on the diagram a little bit. We took out the public ledger to simplify things, redefined. We changed to decentralized identity registry instead of WebDHT, just for clarification. I really just wanted to present the basic idea of the architecture, the goals, and the proposed solution, and define the terms. Pretty straightforward is hopefully the idea. The only question I really have remaining is, should the architecture benefits to participants be included in this architecture summary or in the AC rep summary? But also very happy to get any feedback at this point from anybody.
Yep. One of the things that's happening here kind of in parallel and in kind of a messy way is, you know, Dave Crocker has also been looking at this with Justin and a number of other people that were in his group. And I know we're going to have challenges coordinating on this. The document keeps changing. My hope is that the architecture document right now is stable enough, meaning that I don't think Adam nor I are going to add or change much in that document other than maybe adding an editorial sentence or two throughout. Dave Crocker, I think that's what you have kind of to work with right now. And the question is, you know, how would you want to change it or modify it? So that it's a bit more clear to folks. Do you have any thoughts at this point on that document or how you'd like to kind of proceed?
So, fair question. Thanks for asking. I'm not sure. The differences seem to me significant. First of all, the differences between this and the one that was before, and certainly this and the one that we put together in New York. I want to be careful about how we proceed so it makes sense to you guys and you're comfortable with it. And I'm not quite sure how to do that since I'm the new guy on the block and you guys are targeting a deadline. I have time this week to put on this. I'm just not sure how to do that in a way that's most helpful to you.
Maybe we could have a call, Adam, you and myself, and anyone else that wants to join, clearly. But, maybe we can kind of expand on this for about an hour and come up with a game plan on changing this stuff.
Okay.
Or providing alternate architectures. You know, we don't have to propose just one architecture. We could say...
That's a very friendly approach that lots of standards groups do, and it's always terrible. It's on the order. If you have one watch, you know what time it is. If you have two, you're never quite sure.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, that's what the discussion's about, you know. So
okay.
Let's hash
let's have the discussion.
Out. Okay. So. Let's the three of us try to pick a time as soon as possible, and then we'll notify the rest of the group when that time is.
Okay.
And if you can join, great. If you can't, too bad. But we will record the call so it's transparent, so the discussion's transparent, and people can listen to that discussion on their own time. Does that sound like a reasonable plan moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay. Anyone have any questions or concerns about the architecture summary or its direction at this point in time.
Hey, Manu, this is Nate. Okay. I've been going back and forth with Dave a little bit in the IRC on just the names for the different roles. And in the last document, we'd seen issuer, recipient, subject, and presenter. And then in this one, we're back to issuer, holder, inspector. Just different, some different words for the same thing. But the word recipient seems to be changing definitions between the different documents. Is there any work we need to do to resolve any mismatches?
Yes, in fact, that's the very next agenda item. Is we have a number of terminology conflicts across these documents because different people have been editing different documents, and we need to make some solid decisions on terminology today and align all the documents. So, yes, it's an issue. Yes, we need to address it.
Cool, thanks.
Okay. The next up is a hey, Dan Burnett, I'm wondering about switching agenda items and moving discussion about your data model spec updates before the terminology discussion, because I think the terminology discussion could eat into the rest of the call. Would you be okay with kind of giving us an update on the claims data model now?
Sure, that's fine. Yep.
Okay. I'll scribe.
Happy to. Okay, thank you. Let me see. Let me pull up the link.
I can get it for you if you don't. I got it.
Ha! Ah, beat you to it. Okay. yeah, so the two main modifications that I've worked on in the past week are adding an introduction and adding a UML diagram. So let me explain that a little bit. So the introduction I pulled from the previous document that this originally came from. So it's, what it has in it that I think could be controversial is essentially what I would call yet another summary of requirements that inspired this document. So I would like for people to look at that introduction and, you know, if there is a better way to ideally remove a lot of that and point somewhere else, I think that would be ideal. But anyway, that's where that came from. It's just been updated to sort of match the rest of the document. The second main thing was Stephen Rowat had some appropriate questions and concerns about terminology, what all of this meant, et cetera. And although I think, you know, he's getting more information from some other documents now, clearly there's a lot of terminology that I'm going to have to make consistent within the document. I'm going to have to improve some linking and so on. But one of his suggestions was to add a diagram of some sort. And I don't know if this is the optimal diagram, and I really can't say that it's actually UML. I can say that it's UML-like. If you look at it, if you're used to looking at UML, you'll understand what it means. But it's an attempt to provide another representation than just the text prose. Just to remind people, again, the challenge here is that there are different organizations, different people that want to use different syntactic representations to specify their use of the data model. So JSON, JSON-LD, or WebIDL are the three primary ones that we've talked about so far. And the key is that we need to describe our data model without using any of those three. Then we go on in the document to actually show how you can represent, you can use those syntactic formulations for representing your data model. And yes, some people use the term serialization. I think many people would argue with me if I called WebIDL a serialization. So that's why you hear me using weasel words like syntax or grammar or something like that. Anyway, those are the two main changes. So please take a look at them and give me comments on them. As I mentioned, there's a lot that still needs to happen in terms of just sort of cleanup. Partially that's because of this TBD credential thing that we're going to talk about next. But now that we have this term, which right now is TBD, it's at least a term that I can use to go in and maybe remove my made-up terminology of claims data set and identity data set. So I need to clean a lot of that up. Again, there's a bunch of linking to clean up. Let's see, what else? There's one other thing. Oh, yeah. So for the JSON LD, I still need to come up with a closer to real example. And I have access to materials to do that. I just still need to do that. Also, Brian Sletton asked me why there's a mention of XML once and then never again. And I think that's because someone had asked for XML, that we list XML as another kind of syntax you could use in addition to JSON and WebIDL. And the reason that there's only a mention of it and nothing else is that no one has sent me any examples. So I'm just waiting. If there's anyone who would like to send essentially the same examples that we have in the other syntaxes, if someone would like to send me those in XML, then I will go ahead and figure out how to write the general instructions for representation in XML. But I do want someone to send those. If no one has time to send that, then what I will probably do is change the mention of XML to just be a parenthetical that points out that we in no way intend for JSON and WebIDL to be the only ways you can represent information using the data model. That they are just examples that we have defined here in the document. Sorry, Manu, I talked really quickly. I probably shouldn't have. That's really nasty for Mint Taker. But that's everything I have at this point.
Great. Thank you, Dan. Any questions on the data model spec? Okay.
Sorry, this is Shane. I have one. Sorry, I was muted. Dan, you mentioned the other day that you there's an issue with terminology conflict between your document and so Respec is throwing some warnings, whatever. But you mentioned that you were concerned about the conflict between the terms. Do you want to talk about that now or in the context of the whole terminology discussion?
No, actually, thank you for mentioning that. Now is probably the right time. I have a practical issue, and I just need to think about it more. But there's we need to define some terms in general, right? What is identity? What is entity? What is a claim? What is a credential or TBD credential, et cetera? Then practically within the document itself, I use those specific words. I use claim, TBD credential, identity. I use those actual words to mean physical structures in the data model. And It's just a nuisance, actually, I'll say, within Respec, because I have this terminology section that is defining these terms generally, and then I'm essentially using the exact same terms, but to mean a sort of a structure in a data model, or even in WebIDL, for example, a specific interface name. And Respec, you know, Respec does some really nice things for linking. It makes linking easy if you create definitions. But in my case, essentially, I have duplicates of all definitions. And that's just, I think, a consequence of the document itself and what I need to do. So I'm not quite sure yet how to deal with that.
I understand your problem now. I have a concrete way to deal with it. I'll take it offline.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Anything else on data model? Okay, this next topic is probably going to be a bit not controversial, but we're going to try and get through it. It's a terminology discussion which all can always suck the air out of a room. Let me give some back story on it before we start. So, excuse me. We have three terms now that are being used in different ways across the multiple documents that we have. We have to align terminology because things are not aligned. People are reading one document and getting confused when they jump to the next document. So. The terms that we have, and really it's one word versus another word. We're using the word user-centric, and some of the documents are using the word self-sovereign to mean more or less the same thing. We also have to discuss whether we're going to call the thing that looks at a set of claims and gives you access to a resource, whether that thing's called a consumer or whether that thing's called an inspector. And we've got another one where we need to we have this TBD credential, and we need to figure out if that thing is, an identity credential, a digital credential, or something else. I'm reluctant to open the floodgates and just let everyone propose a set of terms, because I think that could take a very long time to work through. What I'm suggesting instead is that we put a proposal forward, a single proposal forward, and vote on it to say, yes, that's better than what we have now, or no, that's not better than what we have now. Let's kick this back to the mailing list for discussion, right? Note that we have 2 weeks to make decisions on these three sets of terms. We just have to pick, we have to pick one, right? And then we have to make sure that all the documents are aligned with the terminology that we pick. Are there any questions or concerns before we start the process of picking? We're going to be talking about user-centric versus self-sovereign first. Okay, and we're going to be talking about solid proposals for change. And then basically we're going to put a proposal in front of the group and people are going to plus one or minus one the proposal. If we don't have consensus, we're going to kick it back to the mailing list and hopefully make a decision there. The first thing is user-centric versus self-sovereign. We've been using the word user-centric in this community group in the Verifiable Claims Task Force for the last 6 months. We have recently discovered that the word user-centric means something very specific in the identity realm, identity ecosystem, specifically OpenID Connect. It has co-opted the term to mean something different from what we mean by user-centric. This has led to numerous issues when explaining the work that we're doing to people that have been in the identity space for a while. Recently, new terminology has been proposed called, and then this new terminology is self-sovereign. And the self-sovereign terminology basically means that the users in a system have full control over their identifiers and where their verifiable claims are stored. So it's a kind of a new word. It doesn't have a history in all the market verticals that we can that we're looking at, and this was the term that was used at the ID 2020 event, even to the point where ambassadors, United Nations ambassadors, were using the term. So the proposal, the solid proposal, is to drop the user-centric term and adopt the self-sovereign term. Of course, clearly defining it in our documents. And then align all of the documents behind the self-sovereign terminology. Are there any questions before we do a vote on the proposal?
Yeah, this is Joe. Given that I'm not a formal member, are you asking for those of us on the call to vote?
Yes, everyone's a formal member. This group is open to the public. Everyone can register their opinion. Anyone can do a plus one, minus one.
Okay, great.
Okay, there's the proposal, adopt self-sovereign terminology over user-centric terminology. All right, before I resolve that, we're seeking consensus. We have a minus one. Eric Korb, would you mind explaining your minus one?
I'm just more comfortable with the word user-centric. I just think it's easier to explain. It's just a matter of taste, nothing more than that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. All right. We have a pretty overwhelming number of plus ones. Eric, are you fine with resolving to adopt self-sovereign? Eric, you might be muted.
Hey, Manu.
Yep.
This is Carla. I like the term self-sovereign, but I struggle with the idea of having to support a new term.
Right. So I think that is a perfectly valid thing to be concerned about. We're trying to balance two things that are problematic, right? So one of them is if we use the word user-centric, we confuse a lot of the folks in the identity community, and they're going to fire back and say, there already exist user-centric systems, it's OpenID Connect. I don't see what you're doing that's new, right? So there's that pushback on user-centric. And if we use self-sovereign, people are like, what's that? I've never heard that term before, right? And so we try and define it. So that, I think, you know, those are the two kind of paths that we have in front of us. And Carly, you're saying you're plus one on self-sovereign. Okay, I'm going to resolve that saying that we have consensus on it. Again, we can change it if we find something else that's better. Okay, thank you. That was went faster than I thought it would. Next up is consumer versus inspector. There is a block in the block diagram, architectural block diagram, that is responsible for basically being a gatekeeper. You want to access a resource, and this gatekeeper is saying, I want to see a set of verifiable claims that give you access to this resource. And I'm going to look at those and see whether or not I should give you access to that resource. The Credentials Community Group and the Verifiable Claims Task Force have traditionally used the word consumer for that label in the to label that block in the block diagram. There has been a concern raised over consumer. People think that, you know, well, people might confuse it with a customer at a website or a consumer of a product, rather than a consumer of a credential. So we tried out some new terminology, inspector, at the ID 2020 event in front of people that had never really been exposed to the terminology we've been using in this group. People didn't seem to have much of an issue with inspector in that people started using it and didn't seem to be confused about what it was doing. There was, Dave Crocker pointed out, an important difference that an inspector and a receiver might be two different parties. But right now we're just talking about the word for that block in the block diagram. Do we want consumer or do we want inspector? Questions or concerns over these two choices? Greg, I think you're...
I'm on the queue for this. I think consumer is a general term of art that is understood in across a different standards as not having such a specific notion that is, for instance, just a consumer of groceries. and in the context of a standard such as a verifiable claim, it seems to me it's clear that a consumer is a consumer of a verifiable claim, and that's exactly what we're trying to do here. Inventing a new term, inspector, of course, is also subject to misinterpretation by people perhaps that are coming to this without understanding the way that such terms are used in standards. But in my opinion, in context of the specs that we're creating, a consumer is clear and concise.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to consumer or inspector? Arguments for or against?
This is Dave. As I've been posting, I'm flipping on this the more I'm thinking about it. I would like to be able to have a third-party delegation of inspection have its own term that works well, but consumer is such a generic term. I mean, it's a nice term, but it's generic. Whereas inspector, I think, is pretty darn intuitive and focused on what the task is here.
Joe Andrew also mentioned, are we talking about recipient? Recipient has been thrown out before because the recipient of a credential might be the holder, so people got confused with recipient being the holder of the credential or the subject of the credential. So instead, we have holder and subject now as special terms and have bypassed recipient. And so I would expect recipients to get quite a bit of minus ones. Matt Stone, you're on the queue.
I would speak in favor of the term inspector. The scenario that I kind of imagine or the context that I use it in is that of a person saying, let me see your driver's license or let me, see your diploma. An individual's not consuming that diploma, they're inspecting it to determine whether it's valid and whether they recognize the issuer and whether it meets the requirements of the purpose that they're requesting it. Inspection feels more narrowly defined in this context and a better fit.
Great, thank you, Matt. Greg, you're on.
I posted in IRC that we do have in our global glossary, which is typically included into the different documents, we did define a credential consumer, which perhaps is slightly less ambiguous. But for my part, I will, if the sense of the group is to go with inspector, I won't stand in the way of that.
Great. Thank you, Greg. Nate?
Yeah, I feel the same way. If the sense of the group is that inspector is the way to go, I'm not going to block that. I do prefer consumer. I think it is clearer to me about what the purpose of being a consumer is, which is to, understand a credential and to, potentially do something with that information. Whereas an inspector, they may understand a credential, but there's not like a clear reason for why they would do that, that they are understanding that credential because it is useful to them. So I feel that consumer is better. And there was a comment from Carla that the open community might understand consumer differently, but it's my sense that this is the true understanding of consumer, and it's fairly broad. But Carla, welcome to comment if you want to.
Hey, this is Carla.
Carrie.
Yep. Sorry.
Carrie's next on the queue, Carla, and then I'll put you on the queue after Carrie.
Hey there. I agree with Nate's perspective on consumer, because data, the consumer data is being consumed, whereas inspector implies, I worry that it implies authority of some kind. And also, I think Dave just put in a requester, I'm sorry, champion processor, which I think is interesting.
Okay. Just to remind everyone that the vote's going to be between consumer and inspector. It's fine to raise other terms or minus one inspector because you want another term, but let's kind of try to keep it simple and not balloon the choices. Carla, go ahead.
Okay. So apologies for jumping in before. My concern about moving to consumer is that I don't believe, well, I understand it from a technical perspective that it accomplishes a lot of things. We're dealing with the general public, and that's, so open badges typically deals more with the general public than it does necessarily with the technical community. So while consumer is understood, I think, more well with the technical community, the general public sees consumers in a slightly different way. And if I understood it correctly when you were talking through what the goal of the that actor would be, it does act like an inspector than it does a consumer. And I do think that there are issues related to having to do with it acting as a gateway to allowing information to be shown. And that seems to make a difference. But I understand the arguments on the other side.
Okay, great. Okay, are there any other comments? I mean, so this one's, I think, going to be a more of a split vote, or it seems like we're headed that way. Let's go ahead and do a straw poll to see where people stand as a group, and if there's, you know, a demonstration that we're moving one way versus the other, then that's great, and if there isn't, we'll need to make a decision on this on the mailing list. I should also make it clear that we're not making a final, we don't view this as a final decision today. What we're trying to do is come up with terminology that's a step in the right direction, right? So, you know, people raise questions like, couldn't we have a consumer and an investor?
Money?
Yep.
I'm sorry, Money, just a second. I know that I lost your audio for a good bit of time, and I see a bunch of people leaving and rejoining the conference, so I think we had a sort of a gap there.
Okay.
Yeah, I did as well.
Okay.
Let me
go ahead and let's see.
Just give it a moment since a lot of people had trouble. I didn't end up hanging up, but I lost all audio for about 20 seconds.
Okay.
I had the same experience, yeah.
Okay, I'll wait about 30 seconds for it to settle back down. I think I'm going to do the proposal in the IRC channel. It looks like Nate's having a lot of issues joining. Okay, so just to restate what I had stated before, what we're trying to decide is we're trying to pick a set of terms to kind of standardize across all the documents. This isn't the final decision. It's just an attempt to try and, you know, narrow down to a single term. We could talk about consumer in the future, or sorry, whatever that's not picked, inspector, consumer, recipient. We can still have those discussions in the future. What we're trying to do here is just get all the documentation aligned on a single term. Okay, so the proposal is, let's see, choose to use the inspector terminology instead of the consumer terminology. So if you like inspector, you know, you're plus one. If you don't, you can minus one and suggest a different thing. I'm going to put the proposal in IRC now. There it is. So plus one, minus one, that proposal. Okay, so it's basically 5-8. We do not have consensus. We are going to keep it at consumer because that's the language we've been using, and align everything to consumer. Does anyone have an issue with the way that I read that set of input?
I read plus nine on inspector. Is that what you read?
It's a plus zero. It's a eight because Dan Burnett changed his to a zero.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So that basically means that we're going to standardize all the documentation on consumer and not inspector. We will probably want to revisit this on the mailing list because half of the group feels uneasy about it. And then we can certainly open it up to a bunch of other, discussions. But going forward, if nothing else happens, we're going to be using the consumer terminology. I see almost a minute before we have to end the call. Let me do a quick wrap up on the rest of the items. So Adam Lake and I are working on the primer. Specifically, Adam's working on it the most with me trying to support based on what the group has discussed over the past 2 years. Items with no progress are the survey results, but that's because we have a number of new votes coming in. So we got 5 votes in yesterday, bringing it up to 55 organizations that have responded. And we also need to get a list of implementers together to do the implementer summary. Okay, that's it for the call for this week. We're going to have a call next week to do an update on all the documents. Things are moving pretty quickly. Thank you, everyone, for the work that you're doing to get these documents into shape. We'll have an update call next week. In the meantime, all the editors are going to continue to work on these documents. Is there anything else that we need to be aware of before next week's call?
I'm just going to make one suggestion, Manu, which is that with this term consumer, because of how it happened, we just, where that's defined, we actually just have one note that says that this term is still under discussion.
Okay. Can do. Okay. Noting that we're going to have that word is going to be splattered across all of our documents, and some of them are not going to contain that note. Or are you saying you want that note in every document? There are 8 documents.
No. I'm saying we're using that term everywhere, but there's one place where that term will be defined, and where that term is defined, we can say that there's disagreement that this is the right term.
I don't believe it's only defined in one place. I think that for the specs, that's true.
Okay.
But for the documents that we're producing, that's not true.
It's not.
We
okay.
put the terminology
right.
in the documents.
Sorry then.
But
okay.
we can put a note the editors will attempt to take your note into consideration and figure out a way to make it work. That's the best I can do, I think.
Right.
Okay. Thanks everyone for the call. We'll chat again next Tuesday. Bye.
Thanks all.